this is the secret behind a successful personal brand. And not just a personal brand, in fact, any type of business or brand, if they use this thing that we're going to talk about today, then it can absolutely leverage them to success. But it's also, and I will be very honest with you, this thing that we're going to be talking about is actually something that most people don't like to do. I myself am scared of doing it. I do it. I do push myself outside of it, but it's hard. And that's why it makes people successful, because not everybody is cut out to really embrace it, and not only embrace it, but to do it well, because there's a fine line. Now, what am I talking about when I talk about this type of stuff? I'm actually talking about being polarizing. That's right, polarizing your brand. Are you actually diversifying and making yourself stand out for something specific? That is the type of stuff we're talking about here. So if you don't know what polarizing is, don't worry. I've got a definition here for you for this episode, but and we're going to kind of break it down. And in this episode, we're going to tell you what polarizing is, why it can be useful. I'm going to give you some examples of businesses and personal brands who are using it, and just kind of dissect why they're using it. And then I'll give you some tips at the end of how you could start to leverage it into your own business. So first of all, let's have a look at what polarizing means. So if something polarizes people, okay, or if something is polarizing, then what it does is it separates groups. Two separate groups are formed with opposite opinions or positions. That's very important. So that, just to elaborate, if something polarizes people or if something is polarizing, it's two separate groups are formed with opposite opinions or positions. That is the idea of polarization. And as a brand, that's something we need to be doing. We need to make sure that the most successful brands out there, the most successful businesses out there, have to create polarization in their marketing. They have to create something that makes them separate two groups. The reason why is that you need to make sure as a brand, you stand for something. If you don't stand for something, then you'll look generic and boring. And it's really interesting, this, because we are scared to do this. We are scared to try and stand for something. It's something that I don't really know exactly why, but I think they've got theories, but we often are scared to put ourselves above the parapet, so to speak, and talk about how we feel, because we're worried that people might judge us. Also, in a business setting, we're often thinking that people might, we don't want to upset somebody because they could potentially be a new customer. They could be somebody who we want. They could be somebody that is really useful and potentially could buy from us. And so because of this weird notion of thinking that we are the right client and the right service for everybody, we don't ever voice our true opinions and our true stances on things within our industry. Now, what's crazy with this is if we actually did start to stand for something, if we actually did start to project what we believe in, the way we believe in it, then you will start to see results. And the reason why is because you are going to attract people like you. Now, this is where the term polarizing is important, because this idea of being polarizing is quite powerful, because what it is that negatively repelling people who do not fit your target market, who do not fit within your ideal client. We spoke about this in a previous episode about the differences between your ideal client, your target market, and your niche. So not your niche, but your ideal client and your target market. If these people do not fit in there, then by repelling them, you naturally are going to draw people in and create something for yourself. You're going to create a tribe. This is the mistake, by the way, that many, many, many people, personal brands, business owners, all do. I was so bad for this as well. I was scared of voicing my personal opinions on my subject. Okay, very important there. Not my personal opinions about life, but my personal opinions about my subject where I stood in the lineup. And I was scared of doing that. And why was I scared of doing that? Because I was worried about the backlash. The truth is, when I start to do that, I get better responses, I get more engagement, both negative and positive, but engagement is engagement. It pushes through the algorithm and things happen. Good things happen. And that's because I stand for something. It's very clear. They talk about this. I was at a conference and they were talking about this. It was an American guy and he was saying, you know, people don't say talk politics, but the easiest thing to do, now I would recommend probably not doing politics, but the easiest thing to do, he said, is use politics to leverage and to polarize, because if you're a plumber and you only work with, say, red or blue, you're either going to do that any country, and I'm a blue plumber, then all of a sudden everybody who is, no one who is part of the red party, so to speak, you know, like any of those within their countries, because I have audiences across different places, they're not going to deal with you anymore. But everybody on the other side will. Not something I want to do, not something I think political or stuff like that is stuff. I want to be more known for my ideas within my niche and within my topics and within my industry. But you can do that. There's other ways you can do things like that. One thing that's very, and this leans into it, this leans into what I mean, is that one of the best ways and one of the most like smart ways to do is leverage against an opposing power. So this is what I was on about when I was saying about the politics, but leveraging against an opposing power in your industry, in your niche, in your target market. What I mean by this, and it's quite clever, and this is why I'm going to give you some examples in a minute, but what I mean by leveraging against an opposing power is that some of the best personal brands are built as an antidote to something that's already been created. So, for example, if somebody is, and this is where I sit, my personal one is, I believe I'm a personal brand coach. I work very heavily around content marketing, social selling, personal branding, behavioral psychology, that type of area. And I believe that personal brands are built and crafted as a persona and an authority, and you're building yourself around this to present yourself to the world. My opposing force is anybody who believes that personal brands are just be yourself and you'll succeed. That's my leverage. My leverage is that it's work. Hard work pays off. But when you create something from your own authority and from your own authenticity, but you build it out to be a targeted and a very fine-tuned weapon in your business, then you are successful. That really gets the goat of many people who are in the industry of going, just be yourself, share your world, share all your stories and your problems. And I don't agree with that. That's where I leverage. I get a lot of clients who love the fact that they don't have to share their deepest, darkest secrets on social media to have a business, because you don't. I think it's rubbish personally. Whereas, and it's okay if you want to share that stuff, but you don't have to. And so that is something that I've leveraged against other people who talk about that. And I get DMs and people message me and their friends who message me and they say I disagree. But the leverage point is there. The point is that I oppose what the traditional norm of what people would often say in that niche. The funny thing about this type of stuff, again, about standing out for something. So about saying that you need to, as I said, stand up for something, is that the reality is that the amount of people who message me behind closed doors on DM saying, I'm really glad you said that, but they won't say it themselves and they're in the industry because they are scared of polarizing. So don't be scared of polarizing. So who are some examples of people who have nailed it? Well, I'll give you one personal brand example of this opposing source and this opposing force. A great one is the wonderful Gary Vaynerchuk and Grant Cardone. These two, if you haven't heard of Gary Vaynerchuk and Grant Cardone, then absolutely you should check them out. And I would absolutely love to hear as well, if you're watching this on YouTube or you're watching it on any of the live streaming platforms that we're on, then let me know any pairs you think would be really good, because there's loads out there and it's really good to put them together. But Gary Vaynerchuk and Grant Cardone, I've got three here for you, but Gary Vaynerchuk and Grant Cardone is probably one of my favorite personal brand ones. Gary Vaynerchuk stands for being like hustle, work hard, but it's not about money. He's not about, you know, Gary is casual. He's very much swears. He's very much all of, it's not about money. It's about being happy. It's all about, you know, the way he is, that he's very much like, be yourself. Cool. Absolutely works. Attracts to many people. I quite like Gary. I like a bit of both of these guys, but like, this is the difference I've seen, is that you're never on both camps. You're usually one or the other. And you lean more one to the other. Or you have Grant Cardone, and Grant Cardone is very much the money guy. It's all about money. It's all about racing to be a billionaire. It's all about making money. And if there's no money there, don't even bother talking to him. And he is public about that all the time. That's what it's about. It's about suits, about cars, about flashy airplanes. His life is about living a life of extravagance and living a life of more than just the average. what's very funny is the two of these guys make jabs at each other all the time when they are, now they are kind of friends. They do know each other. They know each other quite well, but they make jabs at each other all the time on podcasts. They literally leverage and pivot themselves against each other all the time. Why do they do it? Because they're geniuses. They know exactly what they're doing. They are making sure they're leveraging what, if people who resonate with Gary probably won't resonate with Grant, and people who resonate with Grant probably won't resonate with Gary. And every time they take a dig at each other, both their audiences are growing. And that's what it's very clever. Creating that kind of enemy, the arch enemy that you have, is a real smart one. But this isn't only, don't be fooled, this is not just in personal brands. And there's so many about there, but I wanted to pick ones that, if you watch this anywhere in the UK or US or Australia or wherever my demographic, because it's all over the world, is, then you make sense. I have loads of British ones that would not make sense to any of you. But another one, we see this everywhere in our day-to-day life, PlayStation versus Xbox. The two of them, they split the room. Everything that PlayStation is, Xbox isn't. Everything that Xbox is, PlayStation isn't. This is the whole brand. This feud has been going for a long time. And people act like it's not planned. Of course it's planned. This idea of exclusive content. You can buy an Xbox and only play certain Xbox games. They're not available on PlayStation. They are all about this creating opposing sides, polarization. Who is going to win? And the reality is they'll both win. But there are certain people who fit in certain camps. But by leveraging this, they do really well. As opposed to, think of all other gaming consoles out there, Nintendo, things like that. The people who open this stuff up to everybody means that they're like, yeah, okay. But people either play PlayStation because they want, like, because they want Gears of War, they want God of War, you know, or they've got, you know, they want Xbox because they want Halo. And that is this big thing. It's polarizing. It's leveraging against them. And the biggest one of all, Samsung versus Apple. Okay, these guys are just killing it. And the reality is, they talk about this often, where this thing is just all about an ideal. Apple, it's the anti-Apple, or and Samsung realizes very well, Apple had such a following, Microsoft was the anti-Apple. So anybody who could fill that space, that void of the anti-Apple establishment, does well against those people who don't agree with Apple. And so Samsung very much snuck in there and did very well. Very much Microsoft before that. We've had Dell, we've had all these companies that have filled that slot quite crazily. Apple always wins. But if you look, there is somebody there. It's a very smart marketing move. They're not technically challenging them. If they can become the opposing leverage, the opposing power to Apple, they're going to make money. And that is why being polarizing is something super powerful to do in your own personal branding business. And it's the secret to most of the successful brands you see. So the episode takeaway I want you to take from this, and it's very important, is to think about yourself. Think about, are you truly being polarizing? Are you truly standing up for something? Could I talk about you and say, I know what you're about? You mean, you know, you rally behind this cause, behind this way of work, behind this type of thing? If not, maybe you should reconsider that, because that's going to be a great way to cut through the noise and make people, more people find you. Don't be afraid to, what they say, you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. It's exactly the same here. Do not be afraid to say things that you believe in. Now, the caveat for this, and there is a big caveat for this, do not be an idiot for the sake of being an idiot. If you're going to be polarizing, be nice. Be kind. Be factual. State your claim. Don't worry about people disagreeing with you. That's very important. Fight your corner. So if people disagree with you, don't just back down and say, oh no, sorry. Don't do that. But don't be an idiot. Respect them. Just because they disagree with you doesn't mean they're not nice people. And you should always agree with these. You should always be there with them. So don't be an idiot. And that's where this stuff gets very much abused, is that they use it to be super controversial. Controversial is different than being polarizing. Controversial oftentimes is saying things, doing things just purely to get a response. This is about making it very clear where you fit in your ideal, you know, you're within your target market that we've spoken about. So that's the thing to do. If you've enjoyed this episode, I talk a lot about the target market and the ideal like niche and stuff. So check that episode out. It's a couple of episodes back. So you can check that one out if you want to know more about how that works, that niche target market, ideal client. And also the video about authenticity, the episode on authenticity will help make more sense in regards to what I'm talking about here. My name's Ash Borland. Have a wonderful rest of your day.